Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. I'm Jim Galante with Greg Pickle. It's time for Ask Greg, brought to you by DraftKings. With the season in full swing, the action is still unfolding, so you need to head over to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. So many storylines across both the professional and collegiate sports. This is the time to check out all that DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer. And if you haven't tried the app yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this one. To celebrate the showdown in Happy Valley, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when you place a bet on either Ohio State or Penn State. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up and get this can't-miss offer. Pick either Penn State or Ohio State, bet a dollar on them, and cash $100 if they win. Can't get better than that. So that's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. As I said, it is time for Ask Greg with the great Greg Pickle. And don't forget, we will select a best question. Best question winner gets a KSN polo shirt. If you want to send in your question, go to our app, download Keystone Sports, or you could email us at info@ksnsports.net, and we will get your question on the air with Greg. All right, Greg, you ready for the questions this week?
Let's do it, Jim.
All right. Dan from San Carlos, California says, why is Coach Franklin so inactive on the sidelines? Seems like he may be better served reflecting the passion of the fan base on the sidelines. Do you think Coach Franklin would do himself a favor with the fan base if he complained to the Big Ten about the call? He says, take the fine from the Big Ten and stand up for his players and the program.
Yeah, I can certainly understand where people are coming from on that one, Jim. I mean, there are, and again, when you have 107,000 people at Beaver Stadium, a lot more people can see it, but he does tend to stand far away from the team and kind of out by himself, and I think that's just to stay emotionally in control, and I don't want to make it sound like he can't control his emotions, but I do think that that separation from everything and kind of his own little bubble does help when it comes to making decisions and making in-the-moment choices. Now, you can make the argument that Saturday offered some evidence that maybe my theory on that is incorrect, but yeah, I understand that, and in terms of, you know, maybe lobbying the Big Ten, I thought he hit the nail right on. I thought he was about as honest, Jim, as we've heard him during a post-game news conference since he got to Penn State, and one of the things he said was he heard on the headset that it could go either way, and that if it could go either way, it was probably going to stand. So his guys were telling him that it was not a complete 100% dead set decision that Penn State was going to win that football game because they were going to overturn a call on the field. So I don't know what more he could have done to lobby the Big Ten when he felt that way.
Well, I think what happens, and maybe this is correct, maybe it isn't, but I believe the feeling around Penn State fans is that they always seem to get the short end of the stick. And I'm hesitating here because I'm going and I'm finding a text message from a good friend of mine, also a Penn Stater. In fact, he was my college roommate. He sent me this. When was the last time, if ever, Penn State was on the positive side of a controversial game-deciding decision from a Big Ten official?
Probably never, Jim. I'm sure there's got to be an example out there, and it's like the It's like what people say when they bet on DraftKings. You know, you always remember the bad beats, and the ones that go your way, you tend to not recall. So I don't know if I can think of any off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's some examples out there. Perhaps not as many, though, as there are examples of ones that go against Penn State.
Well, it's funny you bring up the betting. Just the real quick story. Last year in the college playoffs, I bet on Ohio State. And I'll tell you what, I thought that was the worst officiated game I ever saw, and Ohio State got screwed. And it's pure coincidence that I had money on them.
Right. So. Maybe you're the problem, Jim. Now we're starting to figure something out. It could be you that's the problem.
The Big Ten has nothing against Penn State, but it has everything, or all of college football is against Jim.
Correct.
That's
I think
the problem.
We're onto something now.
All right, I'm going to have to make some adjustments here. All right, next up is Mark from Lancaster, who says, as a doom and gloomer, I like to focus on the negatives. Given this weekend's fourth quarter blunders, I want your take on the biggest fourth quarter coaching collapse of the Franklin era. Unfortunately, we have several to choose from. A few Ohio State games, Michigan State, Indiana. What was the worst for you? And he didn't even mention USC in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest problem is that Penn State could have won all of those games, Jim. The Ohio State one, I think, probably is easily the worst. I don't know. I mean, to be up the way they were and to have a chance to put that team away and being unable to do it, I think, was just crushing for a lot of reasons, past, present, and current when it relates to Penn State. But this one was pretty bad. There's no question. It ranks in the it ranks up there. They just really struggled to, get things going when they needed to and make correct decisions, like we talked about with the Devin Ford play. I mean, there were just chances to end this. And that's one question I think that's very fair to ask about the James Franklin era is why has there been this pretty consistent, as far as I'm concerned, issue in the in the fourth quarter or late in games where they just find a way sometimes to lose despite the odds. I mean, despite all odds and all reason and all rationale, they find a way to lose. And it just makes you wonder how or why that continues to be the case. And I don't know if it's a lack of planning. I don't know if it's a bad plan at the end. I don't know if there's jitters. I don't know. I mean, I just have no good answer for you. But it is a concern. This one definitely does rank up there, Jim. There's no doubt about that. I mean, again, this was a game that Penn State handily outgained Indiana in. They were fortunate that Indiana dropped some big passes because that kept Penn State even more in with a chance to win this game, and they just weren't able to get it done.
Well, in talking about James Franklin and fourth quarter decisions, I'm going to give you another question, then I'm going to add my question on to the end of it. Kurt from Orfield, PA says, let's say Ford doesn't score, and after kneeling numerous times, we're at fourth down. Should we kick a field goal to make it a four-point lead or take another knee? Or do we actually just try to score a touchdown on fourth down rather than take one more knee? But I'm going to add to that in talking about James Franklin and these fourth quarter collapses. Can it be put on his shoulders? And what I'm leading to is, should they have just kneeled down four times? And worst case scenario is Indiana has the ball with maybe 15 seconds left with no timeouts.
Yeah, well, keep in mind that they snap it in shotgun. So you have a chance to kind of mess around for a second or two, Jim, and run even more of that time off the clock, assuming your protection holds up. So you can burn some extra time that way. Jim, I would not have kicked. And again, I'm looking at this through the lenses of hindsight, 100%. I want to say that up front, but Penn State special teams were not exactly what you would call reliable leading up to that point in Memorial Stadium. So I don't think you wanted to put your kicker out there and risk something else going wrong, a la maybe a blocked kick or something like that. And I think you would prefer if the kickoff team didn't have to be out there because while they weren't terrible, they certainly weren't great either. And that's one way you can pop a big one and really hurt yourself. So I think you would rather have your defensive ends pin their ears back and be able to go after Michael Penix Jr. when he needs 92 yards or 90 yards or 85 yards or whatever it would have been to win the game. So I think in hindsight, you need it four times and take as much clock, much time off the clock as you can and let the chips fall where they do from there.
prior to that possession or at the start of that possession, there was a minute 47 left. I did the quick math in my head. That's 107 seconds. With one timeout, Penn State would have had twice where they could run the 40-second clock. That uses up 80 of the 107 seconds. That leaves you 27 seconds. You run three plays, you know, first, second, third down, and actually four plays, four downs. What's fair to say per play? 4 seconds? 5 seconds?
I'd say in that ballpark, 3 to 5, yeah.
Okay, let's, you know, split the difference. Let's call it 4 seconds. So that's an additional 16 seconds that you use up. That's 96 of the 107 seconds you've used up. I know there was to be no math here today, Greg, but if I do my arithmetic correctly, that leaves exactly 11 seconds left, and Indiana with the ball on their own 14 with no timeouts.
Correct. Yep, and would have made it a very difficult drive for them, especially with, again, the Penn State's defensive line was so close to having a couple of big sacks and big stops. And I think if you would have let them pin their ears back there, that you would have seen at least one of those big guys get through and make a big-time havoc play to end it.
I think so, too. It would have put a huge burden on Indiana. Now, they would have only needed a field goal, but they still would have had to travel like 60 yards or so to get there. All right, let's go to Lou in Wilkes-Barre, who says, receivers not getting open, Clifford not keeping his eyes downfield when under pressure, defense can't make a stop when it matters, questionable play calls. Sorry to be negative, but what has changed since last season?
Yeah, I think not. Well, I mean, out of the gate, I would say that not a whole lot in terms of some of the things that we thought were areas that could be corrected. I mean, we heard Brent Pry say a couple of times that he thought the pass defense was fixed. I'm going to need to see one more week before agreeing to that. Yeah, there were some incompletions, but I think Indiana missed some wide open guys who would have changed the outlook on that group had they connected on those plays. So I'm not ready to go that far yet. You know, I don't know how much. I mean, there were times, especially when Clifford settled in the second half and later in the game. I mean, that throw to Dotson was just tremendous. I mean, there were a few plays where he looked like he was an improved quarterback, and then there were a few that looked like he had regressed past even beyond the worst moment of last year. So we're going to need to see some more time too. The jury's still out on a lot of this stuff, Jim, but I did think the pass rush was encouraging to see, even though they didn't get quite all the way to the quarterback on a few occasions. You can tell this group is hungry and able to pick up where the last group left off.
Exactly. And I would hesitate to pass judgment on the offensive coordinator yet. Even if you weren't impressed with the play calling, it is his first game. And remember, even Joe Moorhead, it took a couple games. It took about 4 or 5 games till we saw the real Joe Moorhead offense. All right, that's it for quarter number 3. Come back for quarter number 4. We're going to look ahead at the Ohio State game.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. Get in on all the football action. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.